some price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a future fade.
Yeah, what's going on? What's happening, everybody? Happy Monday night. It is me. It is the one that I can be, the one and only Chef Plum. Ladies and gentlemen, what's happening? I apologize if I am in a bit of a somber voice when I talk tonight, but I had to sit through a horrendous football game last night and watch my beloved Pittsburgh Steelers go down once again to Tom Brady and the Patriots. And listen, I know we talk food on this program, but trust me, I made a lot of food last night too. That's no joke. But it's just so painful to watch that happen again. Ugh, one of these days. But hey, big congratulations out there. I know I have some of my buddies on the team who check out this program. Maybe not right now, but sometimes in the gym on Tuesday morning. Congratulations, fellas! It was a great year. Happy for you. Proud. You're proud to be a Steelers fan. Gets better next year. That's all it does. What's going on, you guys? Happy Monday night. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. I am Chef Plum, but we've already covered that. I've been wondering. I think this intro is a little bit, I don't know, dramatic. Like, that guy's all yelling, like, begging for mercy. What are you talking about? What is he even talking about? I don't know. Let's turn this shit off for now. Anyway, what's going on, guys? We got a great show tonight, man. Looking forward to it. I got my new friend. I had a gentleman reach out to me a while ago. About interest in coming on the show and talking, and it just seemed the time was right now. With so much conversation the past few weeks about young chefs in our culinary industry, as some of us vets and some of the vets we've had on this program recently, you know, it just kind of seems like, what's the word? I don't want to say there's a lot of young. I guess there's a lot of young chefs who take this business for granted. For, you know, they're trying to get something more out of it that they haven't earned yet. And tonight's guest is the complete opposite of that. And no, he's not a 60-year vet in this business. Chef Ryan Peters is going to be on the program tonight. And he's a young chef coming up in this business. And he's giving me hope, and I can't wait to talk to him about it. He has worked extremely hard and diligent for what he's doing. And if there's one thing that man cares about, it's definitely food, that's for sure. As far as I go, I love food too. I love food a lot. That's not something to hide. That's nothing to even scoff at. Whether it's having whether it's having chicken wings, whether it's having a delicious steak, whether it's having tartare, whatever it is, I'll probably eat it. And it's kind of fun right now that in the time of year that we're in, a lot of people consider it a slow time. In my business, it is a slow time. But we're still working, which is great. We're still doing some stuff. We did an amazing charity event this past Saturday night. And it's funny because I wanted to bring that up a little bit, because some people think if you do a dish if you do a dish, something that they've done, but yours is completely different, they're like, oh, this is my food, you're taking my food, doing what I think. Listen, there's few things in this world when it comes down to the general population of chefs and cooks that haven't been done before. We all can braise short ribs. We can all cook steak. We can all cook lobster. But we can all put our own takes on things, which is what makes us chefs, which is what changes things, which is what makes us individuals when it comes to working in a kitchen. Everything for me can be inspiring. I draw inspiration from lots of things, from other chefs, first and foremost, because chefs are inspiring people by nature. Looking at even the way a piece of fruit rolls on a table can be inspiring. You know, watching the way someone takes a bite out of something can be inspiring. Looking at ingredients in the farmer's market, or pulling something out of the water, or opening a shell to a scallop for the first time, those things can be inspiring. Inspiration comes from where you draw it. Now, that sounds stupid to say, but it's the truth. And so just because someone has done a dish, right, that rest assured has been done 1,000 times. If someone else does a dish but does their own take on it for an event, which, by the way, they loved it. They went to town on it. It was amazing. It doesn't mean that anyone's copying your food. And the fact that anyone would think that shows two things about them. Maturity level, that's not there. And it shows no passion. And it shows, quite simply, you're a shoemaker. That's all it is to it. You're a shoemaker. So next time that you work with someone, and that's another, you know, listen, you draw inspiration from the people you work with. You know, whether it's listen, I've been doing this for 20 years, and every time I work with someone new, I try really hard to learn something from them. I think everyone can teach something. It doesn't necessarily have to always be about a kitchen life or something like that, but it could be a life lesson. It could be anything. We as chefs, sometimes can be so closed-minded. I think that as a whole, if we open our brains up, open our minds up, and open our ears, everyone, even our dishwashers, can teach us something. They can all teach something. Just because it's a higher pay grade or different level of in the business and on the brigade, everyone has something to teach. Everyone has something to show. And I think the wisest people in the world, some of the greatest chefs in the world, are the ones who listen more than they talk. And I think that's the key here. Listen more than you talk, because there's a lot more going on there than you realize. And in my world, whenever I work with a new chef, that's what I try really, really hard to do, to listen before I start spewing my mouth off and telling them what things I think I want them to be doing and how I want them to do it. And let me see how you do something. Let me see how you cut a parsnip. Let me see how you peel a potato. Little things like that. Because I tell you what, man, you can watch those things happen and you can learn a lot right off the bat. You can learn a lot. The key thing is that when you're working with someone, whether you're in a sous chef role, whether you're in a line cook role, whether you're in an executive chef role, after watching these guys do something or watching someone do something and seeing them doing it a better way, do you learn from that? Or are you too stubborn? Are you too, you know, I'm the chef, I'm doing it this way? Well, I'll tell you what. I have a gentleman who's working with me now who is the complete opposite of that. And he watches me do something. And if I'm doing it better than him, he wants to know everything I'm doing so he can try to mimic it and copy it. And that, my friends, is someone who's going to go a long way. Someone who can put their ego aside. Someone who can stop thinking that they're... Listen, in every kitchen, there's number one and number two. And sometimes you have to be number two. And that's the way it goes. And I don't mean like you're shit. Like you're not taking your number two. But you have to be number two. And you have to be number two before you can be number one. And the best way to get to being number one is to learn. So to break it all down, what I'm talking about here, when someone does a dish that they got inspired to do and you think they're copying you, even though it's a completely different dish, I think it's probably time for you to stop talking, open your ears, and learn something. Because if you could get past, what do they call it, going around your elbow to get to your ass, if you could just slow down, you might learn something. You might learn something. Get rid of that big ass head of yours, because trust me, it's not, all it's doing is getting in your way. That's all it's doing. Trust me, I've been there. Why'd I say it twice? Try to make it more dramatic, I guess. Anyway, look, I'm going to step off of my soapbox, my Apple box or whatever. I'm stepping off of that for now, because it's it's a little bit dramatic, I guess. I mean, listen, this is supposed to be a funny show, a fun show. And, you know, we don't need to get into all that drama. That's for sure. So, you know, listen, one of the funnest things that we're going to do on this show is, you know, we're talking about the news. And we have an amazing story tonight that Chef Ryan doesn't know we're going to bring up, that I can't wait to show him, because I think he'll find it pretty interesting. I listened to it right before the show, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. Come on. Very topical. And listen, you're not going to come to this program and for your political news. You're not coming on this program to find out how the inauguration went. You're not coming on this program to say, how did the march or the women's march go? Because we're not going to talk about that. That's not what we do on this program. But there is a food slant on the inauguration that I just heard a story about, that it's cracking me up. So I can't wait to play that for you guys. I think you'll dig it. And of course, we'll get Chef Ryan Peters' take on that too. It'll be fun to hear. If you guys haven't followed him yet on Instagram, make sure you follow him. He is the he and I both, we have the bane of the underscore. So he is underscore Ryan Peters underscore. I'm Chef underscore Plum. The bane of the underscore pisses me off. I don't know. Like I said, you're not coming here to get the inauguration news. You're not coming here to find out what's happening with the Women's March. You're coming here for food talk and dick jokes. So you came to the right spot. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to play a tune, and then we're going to come right back and jump right in this conversation with this really nice, great young chef in this business who's in it for all the right reasons. Stay right there. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, and pretty much every place on the planet that you can find yourself, a podcast, a live digital audio broadcast, whatever those things are, you can find them right here, and that's where I'll be. You know it. Stay right there, guys. I will be right back. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Hang tight. Be right there. Back, dude, I love that song. It wasn't the song I wanted to play, but you know, I clicked it because it's a great song. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM. What else are we gonna? If you're podcasting it tomorrow, do me a favor, go onto iTunes and just give us a rate and review. You know what it does? It helps out with the algorithm. And later on, you're like, Chef, what is algorithm? I'm gonna say, I don't know, I have no idea, but apparently it helps with it. So if you could jump on there and say something for us, it would be awesome. And check it out. When you're checking this very program out, if you end up having a sneezing fit and spilling your beer, that means you're an asshole. I'm just pointing it out. I just got a message that happened to somebody, so I had to say it. I love you, Chef. Don't worry, man. I'm not messing with you. Anyway, you guys, I want to get in here now to talking to our guests tonight. And let me tell you something, man. We have spent many, many episodes here talking about young chefs in this business and how, I don't know, there seems to be a change kind of coming in. You know, a different group, a different generation, and you know, it's a little bit worrisome, I think, for a lot of chefs, a lot of executive chefs, a lot of restaurant owners. When you see these guys coming in, and it almost becomes, you know, what are you going to do for me, as opposed to I'm going to work my butt off and show you how great I am and become the best I can be. Well, the gentleman I have on here tonight is the complete opposite of that. I tell you, I talked to him on the phone for a few minutes. Super, super nice guy. This guy works so hard at his job. He in Key Largo, Florida. The man is I just don't know how to explain it. I follow his Instagram. He does amazing things. I love his hashtag, push yourself. It's exciting to have a great a new young blood coming up in the business. My man, Chef Ryan Peters. Chef, what's happening, brother? How are you tonight?
What's up, man? Good. How are you?
I'm stammering through, honestly. You know what it is, dude? I was watching the football game last night. I'm a big Steelers fan. I don't have a voice still, but I'm still trying. But dude, I'm happy to talk to you, man. Literally, I tell you, you give me a lot of inspiration and looking at you and seeing what you've got going on, especially following you on them Instagrams. You and I both are plagued by the underscore, bro.
Definitely, man. It's my go-to.
the underscore?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, so you got to check him out. It's underscore Ryan Peters underscore on Instagram. The guy's got some amazing pictures. Dude, I love the picture you just put up recently with the red snapper. You're just holding it. It's so cryptic and
yeah, man,
slightly erotic.
Yeah, we got that in like our fisheries. It's like 12 miles from work. It came just that morning. So it was awesome.
That's awesome, dude. That's awesome. So, bro, just to get it all on the table, man, how long have you been professionally cooking now?
Professionally, I mean, to start off, I'm only 23, so not as long as I'm sure, I mean, a lot of the listeners and whatnot,
yeah.
But professionally, probably about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. I think I started when I was 16 or so, you know, just doing, mm-hmm. starting as a dishwasher and working up prep cook, line cook. So yeah.
And man, and you've done pretty well. And that's a small amount of time. And you're the sous chef now at the Ocean Reef. You're one of the sous chefs, sorry, at the Ocean Reef Club. Very, very high-end type place in Florida. You know, I was about to say, I'm going to tell the story before I get into that. I'm going to digress. But, you know, I had never talked to you on the phone or anything, and I called you this evening on the way home. And the first thing I said to you was, I fucking hate you. So we got off to a good start.
Right? Nice intro.
Yeah, right. Well, no, because he lives in Florida, like down by the Keys, and I was driving home in an ice storm. So I was like, God damn it. Why am I talking to this dude?
Yeah.
But, bro, so, I mean, that's a short amount of time to go from a dishwasher to a sous chef, man. I mean, that's not an easy thing to have happen. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely, I mean, like you're saying, I mean, to get anywhere is hard work. And, you know, I just kind of put myself in the right situations and, you know, connect with the right people and, you know, just bust your ass is really all it is.
But it seems like you've done it the right way. Like, you've kind of gone about this. You know, listen, so I can't tell you how many times I have people who they'll work in the restaurant business, you know, someplace. They'll go line cook at Applebee's. And I use line cook very, very loosely there. They'll be a microwave cook at Applebee's. And then they'll go to culinary school at some yokel, schmokel culinary school. And then they'll come out and say, well, now I'm chef. You're going to call me chef.
Yeah.
What? Bro, I had a guy
exactly.
who was who told me, I mean, and so I run a pretty nice catering business along with the stuff I do. And, you know, we work in the Hamptons and stuff like that. You're familiar with the area, you know.
Sure.
And we were at a pretty big gig for some important people. And this young guy who had been with me twice, I brought him on. He goes, Chef, in front of, and we have a guest around. Can you refer, make sure you refer to me as Chef? Yeah. So, but you know, I see that so much, man. And you know, but to hear you laugh like that, it gives me hope. Because I mean,
yeah.
You have to see some of this stuff too. Living and working in a resort like that, you guys got to bring in some of these guys, right?
Absolutely, every day.
Every day. So, what do you do? How do you handle that? How do you talk to them?
You know, I mean, that's what's nice. I mean, it's really not every day. I'm exaggerating when I say that, but down here we're at, I mean, we get a lot of externs and students internationally, right? So we get people from Mexico, the Philippines, South Africa, Jamaica, and so we get a lot of these young kids, and it's cool. I mean, what's nice is I think that they kind of relate to me as, you know, I mean, some of them are older than me. A good amount of them are older than me. But I mean, they see what I do and what I'm able to do, and I think that I'm able to inspire them and, you know, kind of keep them in check and just get them to work harder, you know. That's all it really is.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's like your hashtag, push yourself. I love that. I think it's phenomenal. I think
I got
that's a
it
great way
tattooed
to
right on
look
my
at it.
forearm.
Yeah, you are a tattooed fellow, huh? You got some tattoos going
I got
on.
quite a
That's
few.
great, man. That's awesome, though. I'm the
Well,
only straight ever. I mean, I have no piercings and no tattoos. Like now, like that's an anomaly.
no shit.
I don't know why. I just never did. I don't know.
Wow, yeah.
But bro, so you kind of been all over. I mean, not all over, but like you spent some time in Pittsburgh too, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I did. So, I mean, I originally did my culinary externship from culinary school down here at Ocean Reef, and then I completed my externship. They offered me a full-time gig, and I was like, no, I mean, I just need to go somewhere else and see what else is out there. So I moved up to Pittsburgh, where my fiance at the time, now my wife, she was living. So I moved up there, and I got a job under Kevin Sousa, James Beard guy, at his former restaurant, Salt of the Earth. Super like avant-garde, high-end restaurant in Pittsburgh, and worked my way up from there. And that was like really where I learned a lot and had like my first mentor, and you know, that's really where I was able to, you know, dig my heels in and just kind of grind it out.
And Pittsburgh's got a pretty cool food scene there.
Now, it really does, and it just keeps blowing up. I mean, there's so many great chefs and great restaurants in Pittsburgh, and the audience there, I mean, people love the food and they're willing to try anything. So it's a really cool food city.
Now, is your wife a Yinzer? Is she from Pittsburgh?
She's not from Pittsburgh. She's from Northwest Pennsylvania. So yeah, she's the wrong side of the state.
Right on, man. Right on. Wow. So, but you did also go to culinary school, right? Like you actually did go to culinary school and, kind of learn some basics there, right?
Yeah, I went to Indiana University of Pennsylvania, small little, I mean, it's a state university, but they have a small culinary campus in
Right.
Punxsutawney, actually, home of Groundhog's Day.
Ha! Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. So it's like a super short program, 1 year, no degree or anything. It's just a certificate program, but super,
Right.
super hands-on and intense, trying to get you in and out, just get the basics. Because, I mean, for me, that's what I think culinary school is, you know, you're not going to learn everything. So that's what I chose to do, just kind of get in and get out, and then get out into the real world and just start working.
Yeah, but what do you think about that, man? Because so for culinary school, I went to culinary school, and I went after working in the business about 6 years, and to me, it's something I actually would love to go back and do again. But for me, I think it's great that I think a lot of chefs say they hate culinary schools. I love it. I think that you go to school, you get a nice basis, you get a good, you kind of get immersed in it for a while, like you
Absolutely.
learn how to do a brunoise, you learn what a bassinet is, like you understand, you learn that shit. Where maybe if working in a
Exactly.
restaurant, you probably wouldn't learn that, quite as easily. You wouldn't learn it until someone said, "That's not a brunoise. I told you to brunoise this." And you're like, "Fuck, I didn't know what it was." But it's a good, yeah, it's a good like basis to grow on, man. Is that kind of, I mean, do you look the same way like that now, or do kids that you're meeting that coming into your resort as externs, they have that kind of background?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part they understand that's what it's for and everything, and I mean, I totally agree. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'll go back and do it again, though. It'd be awesome. I went to CIA, so I
Oh.
don't,
Oh, okay, for sure.
It was awesome. I went when it was a little bit more regimented, and it was kind of like military. I had a hair down on my ass. They made me cut it all off, and anyway, I had issues.
Yeah,
Long
right.
story.
No shit.
No one's judging, dude. No one's judging. So, dude, one of the things I definitely want to talk to you about here, and it's awesome. We can get into everything else about how you got there and whatnot. Dude, you spent was it a month that you got to go spend at the French Laundry?
Yeah, a whole month. It was crazy.
What the fuck? Before we get any deeper, what time did you go in and what time did you leave?
It varied. I worked a few different shifts. The first week, you go in at 6 a.m. and leave at 6 p.m. usually. That's the
That's
earliest.
not terrible.
It's not bad. It's really not
bad. I thought you were going to say 6 to like 11.
No, it's not that bad. I mean, the average day was like 14, 15 hours, which,
yeah.
I mean, for that type of restaurant, I don't think is that bad.
Right.
But you're literally working your ass off.
Sure. But the funny part is that, I don't know if a lot of people know, they're doing a lot of renovations in that kitchen right now. And the kitchens and stuff that you were working out of were actually based out of those storage containers, right? Like you see, like, on big barges.
Yeah, it's like, we're literally, like, in the middle of a construction zone of the new kitchen being built, and we're in, like, two little shipping containers, two or three, I don't know, I forget. And, it was fucking tight.
How big was the brigade?
There's a whole Comey team of about 10 Comeys with a sous chef for them. And then the service team, so either AM or PM, service team is 2, 4, 6, 8. I would say 10 cooks and then pastry department and then 2 sous chefs and chef de cuisine.
Wow. I mean, and Chef Keller is not really there like all the time.
That's what I thought. He was there much more than I thought he was going to be.
No shit, really?
I mean, because his house, right, he lives right on property. Yeah, he lives, like, his house is literally right behind. So he was there. I mean, I was there for a month. I'd say he was there maybe 10 days out of that month, which was a lot more than I expected.
And you got a chance to shake his hand and talk to him, right?
Oh, yeah, quite a few times. Yeah, he was cool. He sat down for family meal with us when he was there. He loved to come in for family meal. So, yeah, I got to talk to him a few times.
Dude, what are some things that went for family meal? You got to give us some ideas. Like, what are we serving for family meal at the French Laundry?
So check it out. The one day we had, so our butcher was like, hey, guys, we got some Wagyu scraps. So we made Wagyu meatloaf.
Delicious.
But it's so fatty. It was so much grease. We were all like, fuck, we don't want to work after this. But it was so good.
That's awesome, man. Wagyu meatloaf. Shit.
Yeah,
that's
crazy. I mean, and the place is just, they do not mess around.
Well, I mean, you know, I think any real good restaurant, you know, that you shouldn't mess around with family meal. Those are the people that you're, you know, that's. Listen, we work long hours. We bust our ass. It's not easy work. You know what I'm talking about. Yep. And I think that, you know, it's one of those things where your team has to be able to bond and has to be able to be together. And sitting down and having a meal definitely helps make that happen. And I'm a big fan of family meal. And I think a lot of restaurants now are, you know, I think especially towards in the New York area and things like that. I mean, it's starting to kind of die out a little bit, which is a shame.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, do you family meal at the resort?
We never did. But when I came back, that's one thing that I've at least instilled into my kitchen. We can't do it every day. We're a big resort. We're so busy.
Yeah.
When we can, we do it.
Good, man. That's good stuff right there. But so
yeah,
I got to go back to the French Laundry. So when you were there, where'd you stay?
Yeah. So I got a house. Actually, I rented a house with a few other, Thomas Keller Restaurant Group employees staying there. Just some lady that rents her house out. Not a bad gig at all. Just right there in downtown Napa.
Man, I tell you, so I want to talk to you about how you got there to begin with, but I have a funny story about that. So I was in Napa doing this event with Pepsi a couple years ago where Pepsi and Frito-Lay, they asked me and a couple other pretty well-known chefs to come out. And basically what they were doing was they had all these crazy sensors on us, bro. And they wanted us to make these dishes one day and then the next day make them using less sodium and less fat, right? Wow. It was a pretty cool thing. Like we had all these weird sensors all over us so we could see, they could see what we were smelling. And I mean, it's actually pretty cool to see that something, a company that big is actually trying to care about that. And they looked to chefs because chefs can put flavor while working under restrictions and still make it taste good. You know, one of the things I had mentioned, they were talking about doing some kind of like smoked potato chip because I end up smoking avocados and anyway. And I said, you know, one of the things you could do when you're parboiling your potatoes, you could smoke the water, you know, just put some smoking gum, whatever you want to do. And they just were like, oh my God, we never would have thought of that. And I was like, how much does your food scientist make?
right?
But so I was hanging out with Bo McMillan, pretty well known guy.
Sure.
And
he's coming down here in a few weeks.
Bo's a great dude, man. Make sure you talk to him. Tell him you're a buddy of mine. Actually, I'll text him and tell him to come hang out. He's a great dude, man.
Absolutely.
He's like, let's go out for drinks or whatever. I'm like, yeah, cool, let's do it, man. So it's myself, my sous chef at the time, Bo and his sous chef at the time. And we're driving and it's beautiful in Napa. And, you know, we're driving through and he's like, there's Per Se. And I'm like, oh my God, where are we going? Because Bo knows the area well. I've never been there. And I was like, dude, we're going to go to Per Se or hang out. It's going to be amazing. And you might know this place and I can't remember the name of it. So let's see if maybe you can help me with it. We pull in, we drive past Per Se. And we pull in to essentially what looks like, you know how you can buy those prefabricated like sheds from like Home Depot or something.
Okay, yeah.
It looks like one of those, and it's a fenced-in area, and it's this little fucking shed, and that's where he takes us to. And they have like PBR on tap, and there's all these just line cooks and local industry people hanging out. And just having beers and eating this just horrendous
trail
mix. What's
the name of that place?
You know what I'm talking about now, don't you?
I went there a few times.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's right by Per Se. Like, you can't miss it.
It's right down the street.
Yeah. And it's definitely like, if you're not an industry person, like, you'd walk in there feeling like you walked onto a fucking pirate ship, dude. And you'd have idea what to do. But we walked in and we're hanging out, having a beer out of a dirty glass. And I'm like, this is insane. And it's all local restaurant people. That's all it is. God, I can't remember the name of it. Yeah. I gotta look it up. But it was a great night, great story. And you know, that was, I could have gone to Per Se or whatever. Nope. I went to this place with Bo McMillan and I hung out on it in a shed. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Dude, tell us, how did you end up getting the opportunity to do the French Laundry? I mean, that's some shit people work for their entire lives.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty long, complicated story. I'll try and shorten it down.
Good, we got about 30 minutes. So. Just kidding.
So basically, I got involved with the Mentor BKB Foundation a few years ago, which is basically the foundation that is behind Team USA for the Boku Store, which Boku Store is basically the Culinary Olympics.
Yeah.
It's held every 2 years in Lyon, France, which actually it's happening. First day of competition is tomorrow. So Mentor BKB, it's the president is Thomas Keller, and then the chairman are Danielle Balut and Jerome Bocuse. Yep. And so they basically started this foundation to try and almost build a bench of really talented, passionate young chefs that they can hopefully keep in their arsenal to have chefs that are able to keep competing for Team USA. A few years ago, they started a young chef competition just to kind of keep competition going for young chefs. So I actually applied for that, got into that, and I was able to compete up in Chicago at Boca Restaurant. I didn't win, but super cool experience. Got to meet a bunch of chefs, Gavin Kaysen and all these big time guys, Grant Achatz.
That's what it's about.
Anyway, from
that's
there.
What it's about. I mean, honestly, like, exactly. I don't mean to interrupt you, man, but like, I just did a big event over the summer in New Orleans, and I was telling the guy who was with me, my sous chef at the time, I said, dude, it's about just meeting these amazing people and just hanging out with some of the coolest people on the planet and talking food and having a great time. And nobody cares if you win, it doesn't matter.
No, exactly. Exactly.
All right, sorry, you can continue. I just want to chime in there. That's really important. But what you said there is something that's a really mature thing to say. Like, people don't, I don't even think of people who have been in this business, you know, a long time understand that. Like, they go to a competition and it can't see past their nose to get to the I can't think of the fucking, you know what I mean? They can't see past their ass to get their elbow or whatever. Like, it's
absolutely. It's,
take advantage of the time you got. Meet some cool guys. Like, I met some amazing chefs when I was in New Orleans. And, you know, that's what it's about.
Sure.
You know, and you make friends with them and you bond with them and you still talk to them. And, you know, like Chef Nick Calais, I met, Boston guy, it was great. Chef Mark Henry, Chef Brother Luck. I met all these guys in New Orleans. And that's what it was about for me. And I'm sure it sounds like that's what the event was like for you, too.
Absolutely. I mean, I got to meet all these guys and I mean, these are some of the best chefs in the country, and I'm getting to, you know, take down their email address, cell phone numbers, and just keep these contacts with me. Yeah, it's crazy.
Because you never know, so, man. Like, if you're near them, if you just called chef or email them, I mean, dude, they probably say, come on in for dinner, or we'll, you know, let's go out there. I mean, that's just what we do. We just take care of each other. I mean,
that's what you do. Not to jump off subject. So, I mean, so you're familiar with Alinea and Grand Acats, right?
100%.
Okay, so we competed at Boca Restaurant, which is right next door to Alinea. And our head judge for the competition was Gavin Kaysen. He worked for Danielle for a while, and now he's got his own thing in Minneapolis. So we presented the winning chef, and we're all kind of celebrating, having champagne. And Gavin comes over to me and my commie, and he's like, hey, guys, you guys want to walk over to Alinea? And this is like 11:30 at night. We're like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, Grant just called us. He said we should come over. So all of us, you know, in our dirty chef jackets from competing all day, all of us eight competitors, we walk in through the back door of Alinea during their dinner service. Fucking Grant standing there says hello. He's like, hey, you guys hungry? They take us upstairs to a private dining room and feed us 20 courses.
Oh my God, dude. Holy
crazy
shit. Wow.
And then when we're done, we walk outside. I had like two suitcases full of equipment and stuff that I brought that was at Boca. So I go over there, grab that. Me and my commie, we walk outside. We're like getting on our phone to get an Uber to get back to the hotel. And the GM of Alinea, he walks out. He's like, Chef Grant has a car ready for you to take you to Next, or I'm sorry, to Aviary, their bar down the street. He's got cocktails waiting for you. So they drove us to the Aviary, and then all of these, like, Grant came down there, all Next Chef, all these guys come down there. We drink with them till like 3 a.m.
Dude, that's an amazing story.
Wow. Crazy. Really, really cool experience.
I mean, that's the reason, like, you know, that's the thing. That's the bond that comes out of it. You know, I joke about it on this program with other chefs we've talked to, and I mean, we're a broken band of pirates. That's how I look at it, man. It's a hard group to be accepted to. But once you're accepted, sure. God, there's nothing better than being accepted and having respect to your peers, is there? There's nothing better than that.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. Right.
That's a great story, man. I mean, and so were you straight up like the girl at the dance, where you're like, oh my God, taking pictures of everybody, or were you trying to be cool? And like, I'll just have a beer.
I'm pretty sure I kept my cool. I mean, halfway through, I don't think I mean, there were so many cocktails and stuff. I can't even remember half of it. No, I can. But I mean, it was just such a crazy experience. I mean, it was like a whirlwind.
Dude, that's amazing. And that's a great freaking story right there. Wow. Wow. And so the next morning, do you get up and leave? Because it's, you know, when you do an event like that, when you have those experiences, you know, kind of going back to the real world, it's hard. It's hard to go back and like, oh, I got to go back to work. You know, it's a difficult thing to do, man. I can't even imagine. Like, you go back home and you're like, fuck, I got to go to work today. Damn.
Yeah, it was tough for sure.
That's insane, man. That's insane. So how's your wife with all this stuff? Is she cool with it? Like, you go away for a month and she's cool with that?
Yeah, she was really cool with it. Super supportive and everything. She's in the industry as well. She does pastry.
She's a baker, right?
So she's, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and she worked with you or no?
Yeah, she actually works at the club here in the pastry department. She does all like the specialty cakes and whatnot. So yeah, it's cool.
You don't see her though every day, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Dude, this is not going to work. I'm sorry, it's not going to work out. Wow. That's insane, man. That's insane. What a great story. I'm still getting messages about this story from people going, I'm so jealous.
I mean, ever since then, I mean, just getting involved with this foundation, it's been a whirlwind. I mean, I've gotten this huge contact of chefs, and it's opened a lot of doors, man. For sure.
That's amazing, man. I mean, it sounds like something just so fun to even be a part of. But the coolest thing about everything that's here in this conversation tonight, which has been so much fun, even just sitting here chatting with you, man, you've never once brought up doing television. You never once brought up any of that stuff. It's just about the foods, about meeting these cool chefs and learning from them, and having that kind of be there, man. Has that ever been any kind of aspiration for you? Like thinking about, you know, I want to go do television. I want to go be a part of this. I want to go do Top Chef. Has any of that ever crossed your mind?
No, not really. I mean, I've just been so focused on just doing what I am doing. It's never really come up.
You got plenty of time, man, if you want to do that shit. I sound like a grandpa, yeah, but
exactly.
I mean, listen, I've been doing it for 20 years and I've done Food Network a bunch now, but it's not because it's what I wanted to do. It's just been like it kind of happens, you know, as you move on, those things kind of come, the opportunities present themselves, and, you know, it's because you earned it, not because you went to culinary school.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
You did a dining series too, which looked amazing. I was checking out some of your menus, like a pop-up series. Out there,
yeah,
where you live, man. How'd that go over for you? I tell you what, pop-ups are a fun thing to do, aren't they?
Yeah, it's fun. It was a lot of work. I mean, you know, trying to pop up in an existing space and trying to sell it out. I mean, especially down here in the Florida Keys, it's tough. I mean, people, they want the food that they want. They want to go to a fish shack and eat, you know, day boat fish. That's what they want.
Right.
Conch fritters.
Right.
And so it was tough. My style's pretty opposite of that. But it was a huge success. It was really well received. And, I'm planning another one right now. I just had a guy reach out to me, wants to host one at his restaurant. So yeah, they're a lot of fun, really get to be super creative with it.
That's great, man. That's amazing. I mean, those things are so much fun to do, man. I've done a bunch of these and we actually have one coming up yet. We haven't announced it yet. I'm working with another chef. We're doing it in this, mansion It was like George Washington stayed there. It's this historic thing. It's going to be a fundraiser for a historical society. Anyway, it's going to be badass. Haunted mansion. It's sick, dude. That's pretty sweet.
That's awesome.
Like New England, very haunted. I'm very excited. I'm bringing me some Ghostbusters proton packs and a couple of ghost traps just in case. I told dude, I was like, look, man, I'm not staying in that house. That's not happening.
Yeah, right?
That's crazy. So we got to talk about the Keys because you live down there, man. And I know you work your ass off, but what do you do down there for fun? Do you do any fishing or anything?
Absolutely. Actually, we live right on the water. We got super lucky. We rent a house.
Fuck you, man.
Yeah, I know. It's tough, right? Living in the Florida Keys on the water. It's tough. We get the sunset every night.
Damn, dude.
Yeah. So we go fishing when we get a day off, or we like to head up to Miami. There's a lot of good restaurants up in Miami and hang out up there.
How far of a drive is
it? Kinda, when there's no traffic, we can get there in just under an hour. It's not that bad.
That ain't bad.
No.
That's not bad at all, man. That's not bad. Man, what an amazing place to kind of fall into to live, man. Like, you got a great job. You're living on the water. Like, you got a great wife. Like, I mean, dude, you're kind of living the dream here, brother.
Yeah, that's what they tell me. It's not a bad gig right now.
So what's next, man? What's the future for you? What's the next step for you?
I don't know. I mean, I've got lots of options, keeping my options open as well. But really, it's honestly, like my hashtag says that you brought up earlier, push yourself. I'm always constantly trying to push and try and just keep pushing myself to not, you know, settling for, you know, to get comfortable. So I don't know how much longer I'll be here at Ocean Reef. Could be the end of the season, could be another 2 years. I don't know. I kind of don't put a timestamp on it. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, eventually, I'm in a club right now. I think my next move is definitely getting back into the restaurant game. Because eventually the long-term goal is to have my own place. We'll see. You know, anything could happen.
I mean, are you happy? Like, if you're happy where you are, you know, what's the rush?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I'm super happy. It's tough. I mean, in a club atmosphere, especially with how Ocean Reef is. So it's a member-based club. So we're serving not the same people every day, but the same clientele. And they like what they like, and we have creative freedom, but it's very restricted, you know, not like a restaurant where, you know, you can basically do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, I can imagine it's probably running
there's definitely
a yacht club or something. you know, it's like a yacht club or something, yeah, where exactly. You have the older members who are there who want their, still want their prime rib and that sort of shit.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. And so, I mean, there's pros and cons to it, obviously. There's some good benefits. But yeah, we'll see, you know.
Well, that's exciting for you, man. I look forward to seeing what happens to you in the future. So there's one other thing I wanted to ask you about, man, before we talk a little news. You're involved with Chef's Roll. Like, you're an ambassador for those guys, man. And what they do is pretty freaking cool. You know, obviously, yeah. I think we both have some mutual friends with industry, but is it, you know, Chef's Roll is kind of along the same lines, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I got involved with them, man, I don't remember. I guess over the summer, actually. So not that long ago. I think it was June or July. They reached out to me. They like messaged me on Instagram and was like, hey, do you want to be an ambassador? And I was like, who the heck are you? I mean, I had followed them, but I was like, what? Why are you reaching out to me?
Right.
So I was like, I guess, what do you want me to do? And so they basically just have a bunch of sponsors and they send us a bunch of ingredients and equipment and stuff. And we just get to come up with whatever we want, some cool dishes, and post it. And then they'll post it on our behalf. And so it's gotten me a lot of exposure and, again, a lot of connections with some cool companies that I've gotten to stay in contact with. So it's cool. I mean, there's such a huge global network that they have. So I've gotten to be able to get in contact with chefs from all over the world and people messaging me and me messaging other cooks. So it's been really, really beneficial to me. It's been cool.
I want to get those guys on this show here, man, before I end the season up. I might have to hit you up so you get me in touch with them.
Yeah, definitely. I'll talk to them as well. They're super cool guys, Thomas and Franz and their whole team. They're really doing a nice job, and they're always coming up with new things for the Chef's Roll community. So it's really cool.
It's awesome, man. Because those are things that just, like I said, you know, it brings together cooks. And to me, being a cook's not a bad thing. I know a lot of people get offended by that word, but you know, I have no problem being called. You know, if someone says to me, "Hey, man, you're a good cook," that's a compliment to me, bro. I mean, I hope you feel the same way, right? I mean, it's just a, yeah, dude. I mean,
absolutely.
That's what we do. That's we cook, right? I mean, shit.
For sure.
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree more.
No doubt. Well, dude, you're awesome to talk to. You guys, make sure you follow my man, Ryan Peters, underscore. He's underscore king, much like I am, underscore Ryan Peters, underscore. So there's two underscores there. It's a shame that we got that. He's on Instagram. Great pictures there. Amazing food. A great guy to talk to. If you're a young culinarian coming up in this business, reach out to Ryan. He's a good guy to talk to, a good guy to know. You're inspiring to me to see someone like you come out and just be all about what you're about. And you're a no-frills kind of guy. You're all about the food, and it's no bullshit. And I truly, truly, you have no idea how much I appreciate that, man. So thank you for that.
No, man, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. That's super flattering. And, people like you as well. I mean, you inspire young cooks like me. And I think it's full circle without a doubt.
That's what we want to do, man. Listen, I always say we are stronger together than we'll ever be by ourselves. So we might as well all
absolutely,
work together,
man.
We for can sure. make a, we, everybody wants their piece of the pie. I think we should just all work together, make a bigger pie, and we all get some. It makes life a lot
definitely.
Easier.
Definitely.
Dude, are you a politics guy? I'm not. You know, I said in this show, like, people don't check this show out to hear politics. That's the last thing they want to hear. But are you a politics guy at all?
Not really. I don't really have time to keep up with it all.
Well, yeah, like, I don't really care. But, dude, this news story I'm about to play for you. It's from your people in Florida, man. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Wait. Hang on. I think I'm scrolling on Facebook right now. I don't know if I just saw it. Someone else posted something.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
It's nothing bad. It's more kind of like embarrassing, kind of funny, and obviously being the Floridian that you are. And bro, I lived in Florida too. Like, I'll take heat for it as well. But check this out. Just listen to this. It's 2 minutes. All right, check this out.
All right.
Inauguration Day in style. A Tampa pizza shop owner has designed an original Donald Trump pizza. He says he wants to honor the president-elect the best way he knows how, and that's serving up slices with some of the most expensive ingredients he could find. Fox 13's Crystal Clark stopped by the shop in Ybor City for a taste. And, okay, what is this pie, Crystal? Well, Kelly, this pie is made with edible gold caviar, and you wash it all down with what else but a glass of champagne.
Hold the pepperonis, the mushrooms, and even the tomato sauce. You won't find common topping the Donald Trump pizza.
He's the inspiration to everybody who's in business. Who doesn't look up to him?
Leo Bunjaku moved from New York to Tampa to open Due Amici in Ybor City 2 years ago. He says since coming to America from Albania, he's admired the president-elect.
Well, it gets better, dude. Hang in there.
Small business owner and looking somebody to succeed and being so successful in life. Doing that, of course.
It was during an election night watch party he hosted at the restaurant that he and his son got the idea to create the Trump pizza.
It's Italian cheese, flour, American gold.
Real gold, broken down into flakes, fashioned into a letter T for Trump. As for the sauce...
Russian caviar. We, like, blend it all, like New York City. All the cultures and everything in one pot.
He serves French champagne to wash it all down.
Cheers.
If you're rolling in the dough, the price tag of a few hundred dollars won't scare you from taking a bite. Bunjaku says he plans to serve slices free of charge to celebrate on Inauguration Day. The pie could go on the menu for the rest of the year at a lower price. But there's one person he says will never have to pull out his wallet.
Mr. Trump walked in. Would pizza be on the house?
Absolutely. And it's going to be great pizza. Make pizza great again.
I got to stop it. Like, all right, I can't even, there's 45 more seconds. I can't do it. All right, look, I'm going to go first and you got to go. All right, because first of all, is it just me or does Tampa, Florida have the worst news anchors I've ever heard in my fucking life?
I was going to say the same thing about Tampa news, man. Absolutely.
Jesus Christ. And what is he doing? Like, politics aside, forget about that. And you obviously it's radio, you can't see it, but the picture of the pizza, it has a T made out of mozzarella, made out of gold and then covered in this mozzarella cheese.
Oh my goodness.
what are we doing? Like has anyone and then next, do you want to go to a pizzeria and have some champagne? Get the fuck out of here. Stop it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for champagne and caviar and everything, but not
delicious
the pizza.
Yeah, right. Right. I mean, look, if I said, chef, let's go have some caviar and some champagne, and then took you to a pizza joint on the corner, you'd look at me like I had nine heads. Like, what the fuck is he talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, man.
Come on, man.
Wow.
I mean, that's like actually buying Wagyu and making a meatloaf out of it and just throwing away the trim.
Without a doubt. I mean,
dude, like I said, politics aside, I'm not even talking about that shit. I don't give a fuck about that. All I care about this guy is he's putting Russian caviar down instead of sauce. I mean,
yeah. Wait, so there's no sauce at all?
No, it's he puts caviar down instead of sauce.
That's the sauce.
That's the sauce.
What? What? Fuck.
I mean, I like salt on my pizza, but fucking Christ, dude. I mean. And then the gold, you see how those edible gold sheets that were,
they were
the thing back in the day, and I guess they're making a comeback now, apparently, but like, I don't want to eat that.
Nobody wants to.
Hell no, man. No, not going to happen. Wow. I don't know. All the luck in the world of the guy. He runs a pizza shop. Fantastic. I think the funniest part is, actually trying to send you the clip, I'm pretty sure when he's pouring the quote-unquote champagne, I think it's a bottle of Prosecco. I'm not 100% sure I need to be able to zoom in, but I think it's Prosecco.
Awesome.
Oh, shit. So, dude, are we going to Tampa when I come down? Are we going to go down there and we're going to have some Trump pizza at this pizzeria? You and I, we in?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Wow, man. Hey, to each his own, I guess. Look, he's trying to, you know what he did? He got himself on the news, and I'm sure people are liking it and whatever, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be back for like a few weeks. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, hey, you got a boost in sales out of it. You can't hate the guy for that, right?
Yeah, right? For sure.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, you've been awesome to talk to tonight, man. I know that you probably have to work in the morning, so I'm not going to keep you on too much longer, man. But I want to play a quick round of what did we learn tonight? You got time for me?
Absolutely.
All right, you guys, we're going to jump into what did we learn with my man, Chef Ryan Peters, brought to you by Ergo Chef Knives, the new shape of cutlery. We're going to use this to shape your brain to learn some brand new information. Make sure you check out ErgoChefKnives.com. They're the knives I use every single day. The new shape of cutlery. All right, Chef. I learned tonight that apparently you have quite the alcohol tolerance from your stories of hanging out at the French Laundry in your time in Napa. So that's great news.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that, but we'll stick with it for sure.
So you had to learn something tonight. It had to be something educational that happened, right?
I mean, I definitely learned that you hate driving in ice storms, and you'll curse me out for it.
I yelled the first person I talked to, and it happened to be you, so sorry, dude.
Hey, man, I'll take it. I'll take the heat.
He's like, yeah, man, it's cool. As he's sitting down there just having a beer, looking at the water. Oh, man, ice storms suck.
Yeah, man, I was just chilling underneath a palm tree when you called me.
That's fucking funny, man. I also learned tonight that... I just had a bad picture of you in a Speedo under a palm tree. I have no idea why that happened, but that's just what happened. And I'm a married man. Don't worry, I'm not hitting on you. I learned that apparently you can function at your job if your wife works close to you. I have no idea how that happens, but apparently that's a thing, and I don't think I could actually do it. But apparently Chef can do it, so it's a thing. So credit to you.
Absolutely.
It's tough, credit to you, bro.
Make it work.
Give me one more. Come on.
All right. So I don't know if I learned this. I'm going to go out on a whim here. So your little news story, we're going to go back to that for a second. I have a feeling that you brought that up because I learned that I think that Chef Plum secretly wants to come down to Tampa and take me out for caviar pizza with some fake champagne.
Damn it, foil it again. And gold foil it again.
Yeah, gold, right, too. Can't forget that.
Oh, my God, dude. That's ridiculous, man. Why would you... I don't know. I guess the only reason you do this is for publicity, right? That's going to be the only possible reason.
Yeah, I just looked it up right now. I'm watching the video right now. This is crazy.
It can't taste good.
There's no way. It's no possible. Take a picture and put it on your Instagram.
That's it. That's the only reason why you're doing it. Oh, look, I got the freaking gold pizza with caviar. Oh, fuck you.
Yeah. Oh, what the fuck?
I know, right?
So he put the gold in the shape of the tea. Wow, this is...
Right.
Wow.
Dude, we're going. You and I, we're going.
You know what? I'll fucking go.
I'll fucking go. Well, dude, I'm probably going to... It's funny. I'm probably going to be... in that area in April, it's looking like. I don't think I'll be all the way down to near your way. I was trying to go down there, but that's not going to happen. I think I got stuck in Tampa for April, which sucks, but whatever. Sure. That's the way it goes. It's the way it goes. Brother, I appreciate your time tonight, man. You are awesome. You have my contact info. Please feel free to reach out whenever. You have an open door here whenever you like. The next time we do a chef's roundtable, man, I'd love to have you on talking about it. Just talking about...
Absolutely, for sure.
Talking shop, bro. You're the man, man. I appreciate it, man. I wish you all the success. Keep on hustling. And hey, brother, push yourself.
No, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate the time. And absolutely, always.
There he goes. That's my man, Chef Ryan Peters. You can check him out on Instagram at _RyanPeters_. Make sure you check him out on there. Bro, I'll talk to you soon, buddy. All right?
All right, man. Have a good one.
See you, pal. Take care. There he goes, guys. What a great guy, man. What an inspirational guy to talk to. There is hope for the young culinary generation. There is hope. And that hope starts with that man right there, that leader right there, which is an amazing thing to say about someone like that. And I hope that he respects that and understands that. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Chef Plum, and you've been checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, and iTunes. Please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. We will be back next week with a brand new, fresh, out-the-oven episode for you. And in the meantime, in the between time, make sure you get food the time it deserves. I'll see you next time. Peace!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came.